Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, we are looking at partly cloudy conditions, going to be breezy and colder with a continuing chance for some light snow flurries in the area. And the temperatures only mainly in the teens for today to near 20 degrees. Warmer earlier this morning, but things have gotten quite a bit cooler. And, of course, dropping dramatically from what we had yesterday. The temperatures going around southeast Wisconsin at this particular hour with some light flurries being reported. In Kenosha, we start things out at 20. Windchill index is about 5 above. In Burlington, 18 degrees. Some flurries there. In Milwaukee, it's cloudy and 18. Windchill index 3 above. Here in Racine, it's cloudy skies, 18 degrees, also 3 above zero with the temperature. With all the water we had from yesterday's off and on rain and the falling temperatures overnight early this morning, you've got roads that are a little bit slick to even downright icy. One Racine County Sheriff's deputy in the early hours inquired about salt trucks coming out to deal with the black ice that he said he'd come across. Another officer found a vehicle in a ditch around Highway 38 and Double M. South Milwaukee, a vehicle into a pond at Grand Park. Whether the ice there was a factor on the roadways, undetermined at this point. Southeast Wisconsin law enforcement telling drivers to please slow down, extra travel time, extra braking distance. Play it safe this morning. Whether it was related to the colder temperatures and the slick roads, still unknown, but Caledonia police were looking early this morning for a car with significant front end damage from a collision with a tree in the 5,000 block of Worsley Lane. A witness reported that vehicle driving away on the wrong side of the street, last observed on 4 Mile Road, the airbag hanging outside. Police reported finding a sizable amount of car parts at the scene from what appeared to be the front left side of that vehicle. In Kenosha Circuit Court, 33-year-old Brian Palmer of Pleasant Prairie pleads guilty to a charge of attempted first-degree intentional homicide for an attack on a woman last June inside an assisted living facility in the village, but claims he was mentally ill at the time, which is something on which doctors for the defense and the district attorney's office agree. The man from Pleasant Prairie charged with attacking a 54-year-old woman as she got onto an elevator at the Prairie Ridge Senior Living Facility to go visit a relative. Woman was punched and choked and found with other injuries as well. The issue of Palmer's competency to be addressed with another court appearance in February. State Department of Health Services to issue a report with a sentencing recommendation. Palmer could be facing significant time in a state mental health facility. Well, the village of Mount Pleasant is moving ahead on a plan through the DNR to try to address at least an immediate part of the bluff erosion problem in Lake Park. Homes there continue getting closer and closer to the edge. The Stormwater Drainage Commission heard from village engineer Tony Beyer, said that the application of what is known as a Chapter 30 permit to the agency has been their focus of late. The goal was to contact every affected property owner. One affected property owner said no, which means a plan B when it comes to access to the shoreline to complete that particular project.
He's not to be convinced to go along. So the south end, which is in some ways unfortunate because then we have our public fire station park property, which would have made a great access ramp coming down. So now if that access road is going to happen, it'll have to come from Graceland on the north, or do it by crane or by barge, something else. So that's up to the contractor.
The DNR's application process has gone pretty well, but Beyer indicates discussions with the Army Corps of Engineers. That's another story. The Army Corps believes that there still needs to be a study done. He's leaning against it, he said, due to the urgency of the situation.
This isn't going to do us any good for a few years, right, at a minimum. And at that point, do we have anything down there we're even going to consider using it for? Odds are the lake drops 5 feet in the next 3-4 years. So I don't necessarily see it as a good use of money. We're going to keep approaching them and trying to see if, knowing what they know now, that we're building half of whatever revetment they might have built. We have access rights there. Do we now have a good enough project to convince you to get back on board, get some federal funding for it?
The Bluff Stabilization Project through the DNR permit could go to the Village Board for approval in a month. If all goes well, he indicated, the work could begin by April and be completed by early spring. Kenosha County gets a $200,000 grant from the Fund for Lake Michigan. WRJN's Janet Hoff says it is to support wetland restoration in the Pike River within Petrifying Springs Park.
The project calls for restoration in the wetland area and the southernmost branch of the river to manage stormwater. It will include the creation of tree islands and shallow wetlands designed to further improve water quality covering nearly 4 acres. It will also include planting nearly 3 dozen trees, more than 80 shrubs, and 4,600 wet prairie plants. In a statement, Kenosha County Executive Jim Kruser says the grant will fund an important piece of the larger restoration of the Pike River in Kenosha County, resulting in a healthier river and a cleaner Lake Michigan. The project will align with the Phase 1 stream bank restoration effort and is set to begin this summer. A $500,000 grant from the EPA's Great Lakes Restoration Initiative is funding the Phase 1 project. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
And the town of Yorkville's water diversion application, along with issues that relate to the Foxconn project in Mount Pleasant, on a pair of agendas for the City of Racine Executive Committee. First meeting, 3 o'clock this afternoon, the second tomorrow morning at 9:30. Both are closed sessions, both taking place at the Wingspread Conference Center in Wind Point. Afterward, nothing will be reported out, according to the agenda. A man who was seriously injured in a traffic accident in Caledonia this week passed away on Wednesday. Caledonia police indicating 55-year-old Ki Ko Yee of Milwaukee died from those injuries. He was a passenger in one of the vehicles involved in that accident. It was on the curve to Highway 38 where it intersects with Highway H. The initial reports had one of the vehicles making a turn at the time. Several other people were hurt. That accident is still under investigation. Vigils have been scheduled to recognize victims of trafficking, human trafficking, in southeast Wisconsin and all around the world. The local Fight to End Exploitation Faith Committee is made up of members of several local churches in the area. The first of their vigils is going to take place a week from tonight, January the 19th, 7 p.m. at Journey Church on 75th Street in Kenosha. There will also be vigils, two of them in fact, at the Siena Center on Erie Street in Caledonia. The first taking place at 10 a.m. the morning of January 29th. The second will be at 6:30 that night. Same day, there's going to be a vigil at 7 p.m. in the Todd Weir Center at Carthage College. Each vigil to have a short film and a guest speaker. Racine's Common Council last year approved a resolution that provides an agreement between the city and Pleasant Prairie's Rarick Pacific Company for the city's garbage collection carts, but some post-decision action have to be taken because there was a little minor oversight. Assistant DPW Commissioner Tom Eek, not saying who caught the problem of no specific dollar amount listed to cover all 10 years of the agreement, but it legally needed to be included in the documentation with a locked-in rate. Eek telling Alderman John Tate II the carts, both garbage and recycling, they're tagged so that their whereabouts can be monitored.
And again, the vehicles, where they're at, when they've picked up a certain location, etc., okay. What time they were in a certain area.
Have we employed any of those tracking skills to recover carts? Because I've had some calls from constituents saying
yes, we have. So if you let us know if that right. does come up. But
wonderful.
We first implemented the solid waste, we had a lot of that go on.
More than just a few recycling and garbage carts have somehow wandered away from their drop-off locations, for which the computerized program allows quick reuniting with residential owners. A Milwaukee law firm announced earlier this week more than $12 million was going to be distributed to companies in Wisconsin, along with government and public entities, which qualified as industrial and commercial users of natural gas between 2000 and 2002. They were all part of a lawsuit. One of them was Carthage College. The plaintiffs claimed retail prices for natural gas more than doubled during the early 2000s as a result of a scheme by the big natural gas companies. Carthage officials issued a statement that does not list the specific amount of damages received, but says the money would be going back into the school's utilities accounts. Racine Unified School District's 2017-18 budget, that was okayed, of course, and put to bed a few months ago. Process goes on, though, sometimes even requiring decisions after the fact. Plus, you're looking ahead all the time. The 2018-19 budget process talked about this week during the school board's work session. Budget and Financial Management Director Mark Duff telling board members cautiously there's potential savings to be found from school reorganization.
And that could save about $1 million since we're reorganizing some of our schools. And that is something that's built into here. However, we have to be determined as we work through our departmental budgets what kind of various inflationary costs we may see. What will be the cost of on pupil transportation for the school and reorganization that might add some costs, or you might have utility changes. So usually I put to be determined, and as we work through departmental budgets, that becomes more clear.
The board, he said, will have to discuss whether it wants to continue with building maintenance as a priority. He couldn't provide a guesstimate at this time on the tax rate, suggesting perhaps maybe at their next update meeting. And Southport Bank in Kenosha is being acquired by First American Bank of Illinois. It's a cash deal. No financial terms discussed, of course, pending regulatory approval. First American will have Russ Wires, the chief executive of Southport, joining as Wisconsin regional president. Southport's three offices, two in Kenosha, one in Salem, converted into First American bank outlets. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. That's where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karko, WRJN News.